Hello everyone and welcome to VAT Digipod. As you know, my name is Dipesh. I'm a digital product owner here at BT and your host for this session. Now today's episode is a really special one. It's all about product leadership and I'm joined by a close friend of mine and mentor at BT, Jane Ferguson. Jane, welcome onto VAT Digipod.
Hi Dipesh, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
No worries. Again, it's nice to actually have you on as a guest because a lot of people don't know. We've done this before, right? But you were actually the host at a Christmas special last year, right?
I was. I had the privilege of being able to interview you.
I know, and you were a fantastic host, but today is my turn, Jane. So let's get into it a little bit because a lot of people may not know your background, Jane. Just give a quick intro to really who you are and what is it you do.
Yeah, so I'm one of the heads of product at Consumer Digital. I look after what we call the learn and buy broadband and entertainment journeys. So that is essentially the sales experiences. And basically, my kind of history is a lot of product roles. I've done lots of different product roles across financial services and of course telco. I've had the opportunity to work on really products that span the whole customer lifecycle, right? So that kind of upfront learn experience through to conversion and transacting, through to onboarding, and even a little bit of kind of in-life service stuff as well.
Nice, that's really cool. And how long have you been at BT for now?
4 years.
4 years, that is a long time. I remember when I first started, Jane was actually assigned to be my buddy and 4 years later, we're still here. things have changed just a little bit, as has your career, right, Jane? So how would you sort of sum up the last 4 years?
It's been a very squiggly line in terms of what I've been doing. It's always been within product, but I've bounced around lots of different squads, lots of different products, lots of different kind of types of product role, I suppose.
Cool. And how would you say you've developed as a product leader over this time at BT, even before with the learnings that you've taken from previous roles?
I've developed massively. I think my understanding of product has, you know, gone right up. My understanding of leadership has gone right up. My kind of approach and outlook to things has changed dramatically. I would say my kind of development has been accelerated in this period of time.
Nice. And what would you say have been the key learnings, the key takeaways that you've had during, again, not just your career at BT, but throughout your experience working in product?
Yeah, so for me, I think my understanding of product now is so much more developed. So I think product can really be categorized into four big buckets of leadership, strategy, delivery, performance. And I think what I've had the opportunity to do over the past, you know, 4 years is get experience in each of those buckets and try out new stuff, test things and learn. So I can tell you a little bit about each of those buckets if you're interested.
Yeah,
in them.
Definitely. I think our listeners would be interested to hear about that.
Cool. All right. So I guess the first one is leadership. And for me as a product leader, I think there's actually a few different aspects to leadership, right? You have the leadership of your teams, you know, so the agile squads. And that's a bit of a matrix leadership. You know, I work with tech leads, product leads collaboratively to really just try and enable and unlock performance within the squads. So that's definitely a big aspect of leadership. But there is also another element, which is really facing out to the rest of the business. I love the expression when people say product people are like the connective tissue of the organization, because I think a huge part of product leadership is about really driving alignment across the business, you know, commercial, marketing, brand, legal. There's so many stakeholders and people out there. And I think what we have to do is bring that all together and galvanize people behind one direction and one vision. But the third bit of leadership, which, you know, I absolutely love, is the leadership of the product team and the product capability. So really figuring out how can we improve the effectiveness of our product team. And, you know, we've done lots of work on what is a world-class product team, how do you enable that? So yeah, that's really the kind of the bucket of leadership for me.
Yeah, and just to touch upon that last point as well, it's pretty key to the way we work at BT, Jane, that we're not afraid to change, right, if something's not going right. And we've seen that especially over the last few months. How How would you say it's been easy or maybe not so easy for you to sometimes adapt and change when the time has come to doing that?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of change, right? We see change as a constant here. We've had conversations about this before, whereby the customer problems are always changing, the business problems are always changing, and we're here to solve problems for customers in a way that works for the business. So there's always a lot of movement in terms of your mission within a squad, within a tribe, and you know, we have to learn to be comfortable with that. So I think throughout my time at BT, a huge underlying theme has been being comfortable with being uncomfortable, whether it's changing business focuses, changing customer focuses, and for me personally, changing role. I've done that a lot in terms of moving across roles, whether it's laterally or even kind of upwards as well.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point because again, your journey over this last 4 years has been quite extraordinary, and you've now gotten to the position that you're in now, but by constantly like just pure work hard mentality. And a lot of people probably don't understand the journey that you've taken. So you started off as a product owner, then moved up. But then, you know, what were the key successes and even the key setbacks during that journey?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been someone that's very ambitious and always wanting to learn and try new things and really just put my heart and soul into what I do. So there was a period of time actually where I felt as though I wanted to progress, I wanted to get up to the next level, but it felt really difficult and hard to do. You know, I went for the senior product owner role about 1 or 2 years into BT and I didn't get that, and that was a real kind of you know, something that I found quite difficult. But then, you know, what subsequently happened was I got promoted twice within 6 months, moving up to SPO, senior product owner, as we call it, and then head of product. So suddenly all this change came at once for me, which really surprised me. But for me, the learning is, you know, you need to think about the long road. And when you do have those kind of setbacks, trust that you will ultimately get to where you want to get to. You just might not do it with the exact plan you had in mind.
Wow, and it's such a great story, I think, as well. And, you know, so motivational and inspirational for anyone listening to that. And as you said, like those last sort of those 6 months, those back-to-back promotions must have been like fantastic, but also probably a bit scary and a little bit full on. How have you found as a product leader, what is it like to be thrust into that position, but also have like a much bigger scope, a much bigger team? And how do you motivate that team?
Yeah, so in terms of the transition, I mean, it was massive at the time. Suddenly I was kind of leading maybe 20, 25 of the people that were previously my peers. And so, you know, I was doing that just at the outset of coronavirus when we were all suddenly working from home as well. So I was put into this big leadership role and I couldn't actually see the people that I was talking to a lot of the time. I remember the first call where it was the introduction and yeah, it was imposter syndrome central. But yeah, over time you just build your confidence and you learn that, okay, I am doing this role, I do have the capability in it. And so I think, I found it difficult at the outset. But over time, it's been something that I find hugely rewarding to have that opportunity to make change at the scale that I'm being able to make change at now. You asked about leading, how do I motivate teams? I would ask you, how do I motivate teams? Because you are in my team.
Yeah, that's very true. And it is the best team at BT, I'm just saying. Do you know what? I think your story motivates people in itself. I think people see that and then realize that that's something that they can sort of get towards as well if they work hard enough. And also, I believe personal relationships, we always talk about it, it's really key. Even our team is absolutely massive at BT. We've had conversations, Jane, like even working within squads, how do you get an unengaged squad to be engaged and care about their OKRs and their key metrics? And it really is about building those personal relationships, making sure that ownership is there as well. I feel like everyone feels like that they they do own their product and they are the CEO of a product, and empowerment as well to make decisions. And that comes from, I believe, the top. So you probably get it from our senior leaders as well. You know, you really get that empowerment, which I think is fantastic. So that's my perspective. What have your thoughts been like since you've been into the team?
Yeah, I think trust and belief in the team is so important. I think for me, as you've hinted at there, it is about personal relationships, getting to know people, understanding their context, their situation, you know, talking to squads and really just trying to help from there. The other big principle that I always bear in mind when I'm leading people, developing people, is radical candor. So by that, I mean being genuinely invested in the person that you're trying to develop, really caring for them, and ultimately delivering some hard truths sometimes if they are maybe, you know, not fulfilling their potential in a certain area. We've certainly had those types of conversations.
I've been on the receiving end of that a few times. But again, we go back to something that I've listened to in a lot of high performance athletes and even visionaries. They've always said something like they have a group of individuals who they listen to. It's not like a big group, it's a small group of maybe five or six individuals, and if they give you feedback, it comes from a place of, you know, it's a place of love. The criticism isn't but it's not a personal attack, it's something to make you do better. But likewise as well, when the praise is there, it's not just a throwaway thing. Like, it's something that you really, you know, you really sort of, you know, look at and, you know, take into yourself, because that's absolutely fantastic when they do give you that praise. So I feel like you do need these type of people like around you, because you need people to push you to be better than what you can be. You know, coaches help you know,
you
players when you see it.
I did say it. Yeah, you're like my football coach.
Jane was like my football coach. Some harsh truths now and again, but it all comes from a place to make you want to do better and help you develop into you know, a product leader, but even into other areas. Right now we've started the podcast, and you know, I've had massive support from our leadership onto that as well. So all of that stuff has been absolutely fantastic, I think, through these last 4 years, especially working with you.
So the second one then, and maybe this should come first, but the second one is all about vision and strategy. So you know, by that, it, you know, essentially the direction that you want to take the product. So I've had the opportunity over the past couple of years to be involved in lots of big strategic thinking, you know, both quite focused product strategies and the definition of them. So working on the broadband sales strategy last year was a big one, but also I've had the chance to work on some cross-cutting strategies as well. At the start of the year, did a bit of work on the app strategy. So working out, you know, across the BT and EE apps, which of our 100 odd journeys should we build into those apps? And so that's a process that I absolutely love, that kind of, you know, starting with the diagnostic, really thinking about the macro environment, the micro environment, about our customers most importantly, working out, you know, what are the relevant commercial marketing strategies for the product, and really doing that divergent thinking, bringing people together, and then ultimately kind of converging it down into a set of strategic themes or problems to solve. That's something that I have learned a huge, huge amount in over the past couple of years, and really thankful to have been surrounded by lots of experts in that space that I've learned so much from. So I think that is absolutely part of product leadership. You know, I think when we first started at BT, I don't really think we had a strategy, right?
No, it's the change in products has been, I mean, we weren't even called product owners, really.
We were called digital experience managers.
Yeah, that's it. So the change in mindset has been massive. We talked a little bit about it on the sales episode when the digital business strategy came in. It kind of just, you know, snowballed a massive effect. And, you know, you look at the quality now is much different and our higher standards as well, I would say, to them when we first started.
Yeah, it's night and day in terms of the maturity of our product team, and we've all been on that journey together, so it's been awesome.
Nice. And what's the third one?
Third one, delivery. So we are, you know, this absolutely focused on delivery right now. We've got our strategy, we've got our squads mobilized, we're doing big big transformation of the broadband and entertainment journeys. And, you know, as a product leader, I think your role in that delivery bucket is really to enable, to really act as that servant leadership, empathize and understand the challenges that squads are facing when building product, when getting to value, and helping solve that. So I think it's a really important one where you have to get rid of your ego and just really try and immerse yourself in what is happening on the ground and trying to help with unblocking, essentially.
Yeah, that's really cool. And the fourth one?
Fourth one, performance. So actually, yeah. And this goes back to the fundamental purpose of product, which is to drive value for customers, for business. And you know, you do that through prioritization, balancing value versus effort. For me, over this past year, actually, I've been on a huge learning curve in terms of my commercial understanding and abilities. You know, I think in my current role, there is a responsibility for me to really understand what was conversion like yesterday, how are we performing on our core OKRs, but also an understanding of how are we going to drive large-scale transformation and the outcomes over the next 5 years. So being able to talk to the CFO on that and put in assumptions and real kind of data-backed estimations on where we will be. So I've learned so much in that space as well over the past year.
Yeah, performance has been a big area for us, especially in the trading role that I was previously in as well, like weekly performance, weekly sales. It's been a massive learning curve for me when I moved from the service team working on existing customers to now acquisition customers. And you see things in such a different light. But all of those 4 points, I think, you know, it gets to really the end goal, which is we're trying to best serve our customers.
Absolutely.
Like, we are doing the best that we can for new and existing customers. So hopefully that will come through in the next couple of months. We've got some exciting things coming up. So
yeah, and what I maybe haven't got across really is, you know, those are all skill sets, whereas, you know, being a product person, being a world-class product leader, whatever, you know, it's to do with your attitudes and your mindset. And, you know, really, I come to work every day and I really try to hold myself to the standard of having a yes and attitude rather than a no but.
Yeah.
So I think it's that growth mindset, that optimism, the drive to want to learn, the drive to want to make a change that is so, so central to being a product leader.
And who do you look up to as a product leader in the industry?
In the industry, I love Steve Jobs. I think his vision and his product intuition is so inspiring. That's a real theme in product around, you know, over the past 6 months, we've had real discussions on this.
Yeah.
Is there actually a point where you're being too data led? Sometimes do you need to make decisions based on product intuition? That's something that I think there are probably polarizing opinions on out there, but you know, I think Steve Jobs and what he has done with Apple, or what he did with Apple, is a real representation of how powerful product intuition can be. You know, that drive for just beauty, impeccable standards, was what drove disruption and that stayed around until today, right?
Where do you think the industry is going? We work in the digital space, but also from a product perspective. What do you see the next 5 years looking like?
In terms of product specifically?
Yeah, in terms of product specifically.
You know, I think there is a lot of disruption. You know, we've seen that for the past 10 years in terms of new startups coming into industries, scaling up, really creating new markets, new products that didn't exist before. Maybe I can offer a perspective from a scaled organization perspective, because that is actually what my experience is. It's working in large scale organizations and trying to take these learnings and these principles from startups and implement them in a way that is viable within big businesses. And, you know, obviously right now, COVID-19 has just accelerated customer demand for digital transacting. And so I think over the next 5 years, the large scale organizations that are going to win are going to be the ones that can keep up with that customer demand and actually build game changing digital experiences that genuinely help their life, genuinely make things simpler, better. That's what I think is going to happen. And, you know, with that, product will need to mature as an industry. We've come so far in terms of no longer being a delivery function, truly adding value. I think big organizations need to move to that place.
Well, and yeah, it was going to be certainly an interesting time for us at BT over that next few years for sure. And just before we close off, Jane, I want to ask if you had to give the Jane Ferguson that started at BT 4 years ago any piece of advice, or any, what would you say to that person at all?
It's going to sound really cliche, but you can do so much more than you thought possible.
Yeah. That's pretty good advice there, Jane. And again, I just want to thank you so much for coming on to that DigiPod, and hopefully we can do this again soon. So
yeah, cheers. Hopefully. Thank you so much for having me, Dipesh. Are we doing a little cheers?
Do a little cheers and a nice teacup.
Cheers.
Make sure you like and subscribe.